Blog Talk Radio.
Take me to the King.
Nehemiah 8 and 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Yeah. Let the church. Let them say amen. If you believe the word, let the whole church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. No, thank you, Lord. God has spoken. So let the church say
everybody.
Let the whole church
to die.
Amen.
Knowing that God is not a man.
Amen.
He just can't lie.
Amen.
In spite of what,
Amen.
What the devil does.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad you stopped by the show again today. I hope everything will be said and done decently in order that you will continue on coming back to the show and that it, you will. We give God the praise and the glory. Today just to say thank you. We thank you for what occurred today, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the word that will be brought forth today. We thank you for every guest that will come on today, dear Heavenly Father. Everyone that will play a part in this show today, dear Heavenly Father. We give you the praise. We give you the glory in the blessed name of Jesus. We pray, amen, and thank God. Well, today we're going to be talking about seek the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And our first scripture from the Word of God this morning is from Matthew's, the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse. And the Word of God say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, this is our mission too. Seek first the kingdom of God. No matter what we're doing, what we want, we need to seek the kingdom of God first. You know, it is given by the Lord as a contrast of worrying about material possession. But if we seek God first, he will bless us with the material things that we need on this earth. You know, I believe that there has been a generation of Christians so caught up in worry about possessions as we are, we have a greater abundance ability and availability on a day-by-day basis than any previous generation have had. You know, most of us have machines that reduce the daily household labor requirement. Our children are well-clothed, well-educated, and our life expectancy is more than God promised of 10 scores and 10. We're talking about seek the kingdom of God today. Not material things, but to seek God for who he is. He is God. Everything that we need is in Christ Jesus. So we need to seek the kingdom of God. You know, we have, for example, we have insurance plans. We have retirement plans. We have disability plans. We have unemployment plans. Yet we are so caught up in making more money, buying bigger and better things, that we have lost most of our thrust to reaching the unsaved world. When you think about it, you got such a nice car that you can't stop and minister to somebody. Or you feel you got too good of clothes on to stop and help somebody or give them a coat or blouse or something extra you may have on. You know, seeking the kingdom of God, that's what God is looking for in this hour, is seeking him, not material things. You know, as I read through God's word, it keeps asking the same fundamental question. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? He said in his word, seek him, and all the things will be added to you. We have to seek him first, listening audience today. And when you think about it, what do you stand for? You know, it would seem evidence that if we are to spend an eternity in the presence of God and only 70 or so years on this earth, that we should be more concerned about what we will receive than what we are getting now. You know, you think about that. When I leave away from here, have I put in what I need to put in with the Lord? Or have I been worrying about just earthly treasures, building bonds for bigger bonds, getting bigger houses, bigger yachts, and all these different material things that's going to all pass away one day? But where will your soul find a resting place? You know, but when our priorities are reviewed, it apparently that most Christians live without real hope. You know, as I went to Paul in Romans, the 8th chapter, talking about in 24th and the 25th verse, and I'm going to turn it right on over here in my Bible, because I have not told my pages out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 24th and the 25th verse, read thus as, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for?" Verse 25 says, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it?" Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we are willing to settle for what we can see rather than what we cannot see. See, we see what's going on in the natural, but when you cannot see, you're working in the supernatural. That is exactly the principle that Christ teaches in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 19th through the 33rd verse. And I'll just read a few of those verses in chapter 6, and starting with the 19th verse. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." You know, verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So if your treasure is in earthly things, that's where you are, your mind and everything. But if your mind is on heavenly things, seeking the kingdom of God. That's where you're going to be. And as God sees the need of things that you need, he's going to surely bless you with them. You know, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is be single, the whole body should be full of light. And verse 23 said, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? My. And then I come to verse 24. The word of God say, no man, that means no man or no woman, can serve two masters. For either they will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. My. Seek the kingdom of God today. You know, it's not the material things that cause the difficulties. God said that he would give us those things that the world cherish so much. It is a matter of heart attitude. You know, are we more dedicated to accumulating material things than to serving God? My. You know, without a doubt, the evidence of our lives show that we are serving money, not God. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, the question come up in my mind is often asked, what do Christians stand for? You know, the answer would really give is not much other than what we do. You know, the sad part about it is that most people really want to know and have a personal relationship with God. They crave God out of wood, out of rocks, worshiping idols, crows, demons, or whatever they can find. We have the only hope for a generation without hope, and yet we're spending the majority of our time pursuing vain things. You know, our energy are so depleted in accumulating bigger homes, businesses, cars, retirement plans, that we don't even have much time to seek God's kingdom. And when you think about it in the course of a day, from the time God woke you up this morning, your mind, some of you mind been on Christ Jesus and seeking the kingdom of God, but some has been on what I'm going to eat today, where I'm going to go buy this today, where can I get this today, what did I do here, what can I do there? You know, it's a back and forth issue with you all day. But did you just sit down, take a few minutes, and just have a little talk with Jesus? And let him know how much you love him. What are you seeking him for? Not just material things, but spiritual things. You want to go further into supernatural. You tired of being in that carnal. You ought to be if you're not. You know, when we have the only hope for a generation without hope, yet we're spending the majority of our time pursuing vain things. Hallelujah. You know, it's only two choices. Christ said that we have only two choices as disciples, to follow God or to follow money. And I'd rather follow God because I know he's my provider. He will give me everything I need. If I'm falling behind money, it's going to lead me into so many evil areas and disfarment and everything in my life, where I'm just grasping here, grasping there, not taking hold of the word of God. You know, the scripture warning is clear that we will be judged on the evidence of our material lives more than any other thing. I think I'll say that one again. We're going to be judged on the evidence of our material lives more than any other thing. You know, the attraction of materialism is so great that Christians devote two-thirds of his or her time parable to warning his disciples about it. You know, when you think about it, the writer, the amplified, that teaches as they observe the destructive force of materialistic in the lives of believers. You know, for the law of money is a root of all sort of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wonderfully always from the fruit and pierced them with many a pangs. You'll find that in 1 Timothy 6 and 10. You know, as I was thinking and reading on this here, the Word of God said, let your character be free from the law of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You'll find that in Hebrews 13 and 5. You know, again, it's not materialist things that are the problem. It's materialistic. The alarming thing about our generation of Christians is that we have found a way of scripturally rationalizing our excess. You know, many Christians actually believe that we can attain the righteous, the unsaved, I'm sorry, that we can obtain the unsaved by having the best. No. Let me assure you that those who are seriously seeking God in their life are not attracted by the luxury of Christians. You know, they are attracted by an uncompromising committed to God. If that only commitment also yield material blessing, it's just an added benefit. My. You know, I was reading this and going through scriptures, and, you know, it comes to mind, why Christians stumble? You know, it's unfortunate that the zeal and the dedication seen in new believers often fade as they get back into the old rut. Whether a few knew, my. You know, I was just thinking, as I went over this lesson, Christians' language and fall back and step with the world. They talk a lot about God's blessing, usually material blessing, but seldom experience the joy, the real joy and peace. Even worse, lives aren't changed through contact with them. Why? They become too busy to listen to God's voice. And that's what can happen in the course of a day, where you let everything get in your space, where you don't have room to pray, to seek God's face, to do the things he has called for you to do. And we give God the praise today that we are realizing that. That we are seeing these things come to pass. Well, I think about the story when Martha and when the Lord visited Martha in Mary's house. And Mary set his feet to listen as he taught. How many of y'all are sitting at the feet of the Lord to be taught today? Or are you disturbed? You know, Martha, who was apparently trying to impress God with her activities, when Martha asked Jesus to rebuke Mary, his reply was fit most of us today. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really. Only one. For Mary had chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You'll find that in Luke 10:41-42. You know, late Christ told his disciples about being a part of the kingdom of God in Luke 14:16-26. You know, many will be called to serve in God's kingdom, but most will have excuses why they can't get involved. You've run across people like that. Something you need done, whether it's at home at the church and they can do it. They'll tell you, call me at any time if you need me. And when you call them, you can't get them. They figure you don't need a need then. You can't get them by phone. You can't get them to answer email. So you think about that, everyone that's listening in today. On seeking and seek the kingdom of God. Christ told his disciples a parable by being part of the kingsman, of the kingdom of God. Many will be called to serve in God's kingdom, but most will have excuses that they can't get involved. How many people you met in your walk of life have given excuses? Either can't do it, they won't do it, something to the effect. And at the conclusion of this parable, we have one of the most creative superintendents and scripture of all Christ's teaching. You know, if anyone came to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister, yet even this own life cannot be my disciples. You'll find that in Luke 14:26. Anyone who doubts the empathy that God's put on place in his kingdom first should be pondered that scripture for a while. My, he's telling you to go to the scriptures and ponder them. Read them for yourself. You know, too many distractions. If you think about it, listening audience, we have more distraction that come up in our life. Distraction where we're going to pray, the phone go to ring. You had to put the phone on mute or just cut it off. So many things happen when you're going before God to get your attention off of God. And we can't let that happen, you all. Anybody would like to come in that's on the chat line or on the regular line, please just call in, and we are glad to put you on one. Hit you one on your keypad and bring it in. You know, I find that the most things are countable, the more distraction they can cause. You know, two cars break down twice as often. Two computers, most of all, first begin to break, not work. Our greatness, hallelujah. When we think about our greatness, my. When us first began to work, and our greatness concern was a good job and a modeling home. But as we make money, our expectations increase. Now we find ourselves distracted by building, cars, investments, retirement plans for 30 years in the future. The very records that we cease to breathe, all of those concerns are going to be irrelevant. In counseling during the last 4 years, I have not met several Christians who have learned that they have terminal illness. You're meeting people on the street, on your job, eating places, and they'll maybe walk up to you and ask you to pray for them because they're battling this within their minds and their souls, their hearts. And it's our job to be able to minister them. But if we're not seeking God, it's nothing we can do. And, you know, that perspective about the future and material things change the insight that they look on, sharp view of this world. You know, Christ is saying to us in Matthew 6:25, and I'm going to read that one, Matthew 6:25. And the word of God said in Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than the raiment? My. You know, compared to eternity, we are all dying today, tomorrow. Don't be so distracted by the worries of this world. because you're going to have trials and tribulation over on this side. But you can look to the other side in the supernatural and see, I don't have a care in the world. I don't have to worry about this and worry about that and trying to do this and trying to do that. Just go straight on to the Father yourself. Sit at his feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we have keys to the kingdom. And I have read, you know, in reading Paul's letters to Romans, it is obvious to me that somewhere between the 7th and the 10th chapter, Paul describes a man himself who had found the key to God's invisible kingdom. It becomes clear that what Paul is describing as a man who accepts God as an absolute authority in his life and a willingness to surrender everything if necessary. That's seeking the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And if Philippians 1:21, that we live to serve Christ at any cost, even if death is what we must pay. Hallelujah. You know, as I was reading on some articles, 7 years ago, I met a Chinese Christian who was serving as a member of the Red Bridge Society. He was in prison, tortured, starved, and beaten in an effort to get him to announce his faith. When he suffered, his family was executed. So, teach others a lesson today on seeking God's kingdom. He said that things that sustained him was an ever-dependent relationship between Christ and underlining commitment to serve God. When most of our communities are weighed against his, it's easy to see why the people and the keys to the kingdom enable us. Perhaps God's call us to a physical spiritually that many Christians have suffered. But the affirmation that God give us to all of us is absolute clear. Then Jesus said to a disciple, if anyone wish to come after me, first you have to deny yourself. First you have to take up your cross and follow him daily, not just sometime daily. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for coming in on the chat line. Praise be to God. You know, evidence of our commitment. You know, it's always good to have some standard of measure to compare when we are to where God wants us to be. You know, we all are not where God have us to be, that we need to be. And if anybody would like to come on, just press 1 on your keypad, and I would love to hear from you today. We give God the praise today. And as I was thinking about that evidence of our commitment, you know, all we have to do is eliminate our ego and pride before our own, and we'll know we're on the right track. Is it difficult? No, it's not impossible. But in Romans, the 7th chapter, 24 and 25, and I'm going to turn right over there to Romans 7, 24 and 25 says, oh, wretched man that I am, or oh, wretched woman that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And 25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, humility. You know, Christ is to be the most exalted being in the eternal kingdom of God. You know, knowing this to be true, he assumed the lowest, most humbly position, possibly doing his life. You know, he has not only served others, but he also assumed the position of a foot washer. You know, in John 13 and 15, he said, "For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." Perhaps to us this would mean giving up having the most and the best, and not just giving to someone else's need, but giving them the best. You know, when God bless you, you are to bless others. But when you see the kingdom of God and he bless you abundantly, my, you see, you can't keep from giving. You steadily giving, you steadily doing, because you're seeking the kingdom of God. You know all this earthly stuff is going to pass away one day. And you're not going to be able to take any of this with you. But if you seek the kingdom of God, hallelujah, today, seek him like never before. We living in a day and a time where we need to seek God like never before. You know, I'm going to give an example that you should also do as I did to you. You know, perhaps to us this would mean giving up having the most and the best. But when you think about self-denial, it is a contrast in human logic that by giving up something, we can receive even more. But Christ taught this principle frequently. It's called sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. We want to always reap the reward immediately. In fact, I believe it is our choice whether to take what we want now or store it and receive it in God's eternal kingdom. You know, when you compare the time to enjoy God's reward to the time spent in this world, there is no contest. And the word of God said, he said to them, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brother or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many, not just some, many things as much at this time and in the age to come, eternal life." You'll find that in Luke, the 18th chapter, the 29th through the 30th verse. Who shall not receive many things? When you think about the things that you can receive from God, My, love for others. Last, as we, you know, God's word tell us that an evidence of our commitment to his way will be shown in our concern for others. Are we concerned about others today? Are we just concerned about me, and not nobody else? Are we concerned to help others to see the light and to see the kingdom of God? Everything he made is beautiful. I love nice things. I love beautiful things. But I have to make a choice. I'm seeking the kingdom of God because I know seeking the kingdom of God, I will have everything that I need. He said he would be your protector. He will be your provider. He would be your everything. If somebody may be listening in radio land today that have not given God your heart, have not been seeking God, but seeking the material things that you feel God can give you, like you, he's a Sandy Club. Well, I need a house, I need a car, I need gas, I need a job, a better job, I need this, da 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 da, I need this. But have you ever stopped and said, "God, put me in the word. I seek you, the kingdom. More than all the riches, I seek you." You have to give up houses. Sometimes you got to give up cars. You may have to catch the bus, or you may have to walk.
But you seeking God like never before. Some jobs you got to walk away from because you seeking God. I had to do that. I had to really know the job was giving me what I needed, I thought, but I still was missing something. I was seeking God. The more and more that I was getting things and things, the further I was getting away, I said, oh, wait a minute. Something's slipping right here. I had to take hold of myself and say, wait a minute. It's all about God. It's not about this job. It's not about the 401. It's not about the profit share. Sure, that come in handy. But what you going to do when you die, leave it all here and go straight to hell? When you could have been seeking God, he would have given you that, but you seek him first. And so that's what this lesson is about today, seeking the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, having the evidence, the proof. As they say, the proof is in the pudding, having the proof, you know, having that love for others, asking God to give you that love that runs from heart to heart and breast to breast, giving you a clean heart. You'll find that over there in Psalms. You know, in Matthew, the 25th chapter, the Lord describes the gleaning of the righteous servant from the unrighteous. You know, the righteous servant was those who thought whom the love of God showed itself by sharing. You know, the king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of my brothers, of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Hallelujah. My. Ooh, I think I'm going to read a little bit more of that here in Matthew, the 25th, and the 25th chapter and the 40th verse. My. Well, we can get a little bit better understanding on that verse. Let me turn right on over to it. In 25 and 40 say, then shall they also answer, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And then when I go one step, one verse up, it says, or when they asking, we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee. And 41 say, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. And when we step down a little further in verse 42, it say, for I hunger, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. My. And then he go on to verse 43. We're talking today about seeking the kingdom of God. He said in his word, it's in your Bible, written in red. He's talking this. He's saying these words. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visit me not. Now just think about that. How many of you all are going to the hospital? How many of you going to the nursing home? Or how many of you all just checking on somebody in your neighborhood that's sick? Some mother struggling, needs some help with her children, or may just need a ride to the pharmacy to get her medication. Do you offer your service? Do you say, I don't mind getting it, or would you like to take a ride up there? I'd be happy to take you. We're talking about today the kingdom, seeking the kingdom of God. And when you read this, I went down to 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And verse 46 says, and these shall go away
into everlasting punishment, but the righteous and into life eternal. We are talking about see the kingdom of God today. That's what it's about, you all. It's seeking God, seeking the kingdom. You know, as we start each day, we have a choice. When God wake you in the morning, you have a choice to get up and pray, give him thanks for sparing your life, that you could see one more day. Your children are alive and well. You didn't get a 911, a 411, a 711 call, a 311 call during the morning, during the night. When you think about that, and to follow God or to follow this world, who you want to follow? Do you want to follow God and have eternal life? Or you want to follow the world and the things that the world do and end up with hell and damnation in your life? You have a choice. And the choice today is being made. It's extended today. Seek the kingdom of God today. And all his righteousness shall be added unto you. We need to seek God like never before. You know, we would be, you know, if we decide to totally follow God's path, it will cost us nothing. It's not going to cost you anything to follow God's path. But when you follow in Satan, you know, you shouldn't have to doubt your decision today and the wisdom of it. But on the sole authority of God's word, we can clearly know that our priorities are in order. You know, I went to Luke 18 and 8, and I'm going to turn over to that. And then I'm going to play us a song, 18 and 8. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And in 18 and 8, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? My. Just think about them. Those words, just those words that I read. I'm going to read them again. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You all, time is winding up. It's not long as it has been. We don't have 10 or 15 years to get it right. We have to seek Jesus today, right now. Seek the kingdom of God. Your next breath, in the next minute, the next hour is not promised to us. So anyone find themselves out of the ark of safety should be getting in tune and in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ now. You see, things are happening all around you. Things is not as bad as they're going to get. For those that have never lived through a depression before, I can tell you, get prepared. If you're not living and ready to do what God say and be in Goshen, you better start preparing yourself. You better start going and living in the supernatural, learning all you can and can learn with this word of God. We have our Bibles. We have our commentaries. We have everything at our disposal to help us, that God have opened the door for us to learn. And if you don't learn it and take advantage of it, it's nobody's fault but yours. So today, I hope you are seeking the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, because that's what we're going to need. No matter what we're going through, no matter what situation, what problem come up in our life, we need to be seeking Jesus like never before. And I'm going to play one of the songs for us. But someone may be praying right now on the other end of the phone, may be sitting at their computer, might be just reading their Bible, just having a little talk with Jesus, knowing that he will make everything all right. So I'm just going to play a few little songs while you listen to it, where it ministered to somebody today that may be listening.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power. Oh, wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, so much power, wonder-working.
Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you all enjoyed the topic today. Seek the kingdom of God. And hope you all enjoyed the music that I played. But just remember, through it all, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. And all these things will be added. Please join us next week for another exciting broadcast. We'll be on talking about setting goals. So we hope that you come back next week. We enjoy it for each person that came online today. We thank you. Share the word of God with somebody today. Let them know the scriptures we come from, that you have to back up what you are saying. Seeking the kingdom of God. And that's found in Matthew 6 and 33. And as you read on, God will give you more to read about that. So we want to thank each and every one of you all for coming to the broadcast today. Thank you for those that came on the chat line. And we just give God praise for what he's doing today in the lives of his people everywhere. And until next week, be blessed. Love each and every one of you all. Bye-bye.